that Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, and they just disagree on how.
We're going to get across that wasteland, and we're going to do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Fenway Rundown podcast presented by MassLive. I'm the host of this show, Chris Cotillo, and today we're pleased to be joined by both the current and former manager of the Red Sox, Alex Cora. 2 weeks ago today, I guess, was when Alex was reintroduced at Fenway as the new manager of the Red Sox, and so I'm sure it's been a whirlwind over the last couple weeks. But, Alex, are you back to the point where you're, you know, settling down and kind of getting back into the swing of things after everything that went on?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. It's been, a lot to catch up with, you know. I don't want to say long 2 weeks, actually. Eager to get up in the morning and see what the day brings. A lot of phone calls, a lot of emails, catching up with what happened during the season, catching up with our information department, the department of baseball ops and coaches. So it's been good. It's been good. Very excited to obviously to be back. Looking forward to keep working and try to keep getting better on a daily basis. That's our goal. And I do believe that so far, so good.
So you're back home now. We're only in Boston for a couple of days, for the press conference and meetings and stuff. But what do these days look like for you? Like, is it?
I mean, a lot of rain here. Sorry about that, you know, yeah. But sorry to brag about it, right? You know, it's only 85 here. So,
right.
It's a combination of a lot, you know. You got to keep doing the things that you do at the house, you know. Like, mm-hmm. We've been doing it for 8 months, and we have our routine. But at the same time, now everybody knows that we have to get locked in, you know, with work. And one of the things that I'm trying to do is, watch as many at bats, as many pitches as possible from last season, and. Although I watch, you know, the games, but individual at bats and try to, you know, ask questions to the coaching staff. I think mm-hmm. it's very important. Obviously, they were there day in and day out and looking for answers. And I know it's not easy, obviously, with everything that is going on. But I think the collaboration from the coaches, the medical staff, the strength and conditioning coaches has been great. And they're making it easier for me. To adjust to everything that is going on.
So with coaches, you guys announced the coaching staff, I think, Friday afternoon, and there were some changes. Kind of the big news is Will Venable being brought in, a guy that has never worked for the Red Sox before, you know, no clear familiarity with the organization, but he was someone that, you know, interviewed for the manager job. First of all, what is your relationship with him dating back, if there is any? And then I guess, why was he your pick as your right-hand man this time around?
Our relationship is baseball, you know. He's a baseball lifer. I'm the same way. Going through the process of interviews, you know, we talk about the coaching staff and a little bit, you know, what I envision. And just like I told Dave in 2017, you know, I adjust and I'm open-minded about everything, mm-hmm. you know. And one thing that organizations do around the league, it's always looking for talent outside the organization. You know, yeah, we have a great player development staff, but it's always good, you know, to look around and see if somebody, can convince you in a sense, you know, or attracts you. And you know, he went through a process with Haim and baseball operations, and he's a guy that really impressed. Been in the front office with the Cubs for a little bit. He moved to first base right away. He moved to third. Very smart guy, you know. Like as of now, he's the second smartest guy in the room. You know, he went to Princeton. I went to Miami, so right. I'm still number one. but he gets it, you know. I talked to him for a while, the back and forth, you know, and I do believe that he brings another dimension to our equation, you know. And, you know, I hate to put titles on people, you know. I think that's kind of like, whatever. It's not a big deal, you know, bench coach, game planning coach, quality control coach. At the end is people that they know the game, they're going to help us out. They're going to put us in a best position to win games. And that's what he brings. Obviously, he has worked with base runners and the outfield. So he's going to help Goody in that aspect. Great relationship with the information department of the Cubs. So he brings, you know, a lot of ideas. He's going to help us to keep connecting with our information department. And that's the key, you know. It's very important with the way the game is going to have that great relationship with the front office and everything that is going on with the game. And he's going to bring that dimension to us. He's going to make us better. We're going to help him out to get better. You know, having Walk in the bullpen is great. You know, Bushy in his second year. I think Jason is going to help a lot in his new role. Ramon, he's a great baseball man. He's going to be closer to me during games, and obviously oversees the whole operation. He's just not another coach. I think, you know, the title MLB coach was like,
right,
what is that? You know, so so now we assign, you know, duties now, and I think we're in a better position than what we were going into 20 before everything happened. And I'm very pleased that we got Will, we got Jason in the game planning department, and Ramon. He's going to do an outstanding job.
With Will, and I think, you know, I kind of maybe wrongly assumed that you would just promote from within. Was it important to get somebody from outside the organization for a new perspective there?
No, it wasn't that important, but it was something that you take into consideration. Mm-hmm. And just like we did, like the way we did in 17, you bring, you know, Renicky from the Angels, Ramon from the Padres, Tim Hires from the Dodgers, Andy Barquette from the Pirates, Tom Goodwin from the Mets. I mean, you bring all these people from other organizations, and you bring some new ideas, a new set of eyes. And like I said, we work very close with our play development staff. You know, they're in tune with what we're trying to accomplish, and it's not a knock on them. You know, they're doing an outstanding job. And, you know, I think the goal at the end, right, is like for Carlos in a few years to become a big league manager, and, mm-hmm. and Will in a few years to become a big league manager. Same with Jason and with Ramon. And then, you know, we keep getting people either within the organization, or outside the organization, but it's like a situation like the Rays, you know, they lose Rocco and Charlie and Shelton, you know, so yeah. Hopefully we can make these people better. They can make us better. And then, you know, they go their ways and become big league managers.
You know, one more thing on the coaching staff, where I think, you know, on two people that are obviously, you know, important in your life. Number one, was Ron coming back ever a real consideration? And number two, was having Joey on the staff ever a consideration?
Having who?
Joey.
Oh, no, no chance. No chance.
I thought you said at one point that you wanted that, but.
Yeah, not yet. We're not ready for that relationship. We're still in the big brother, little brother relationship. Mm-hmm. I don't think the family can live with that one. You know, it'll be tough. I always joke around, like, you know, like you're the little brother, but all of a sudden, you know, you run the show and he needs to listen to you.
It's a different dynamic,
And we're still in the, you have to listen to him. You know, he runs the show in the family. So I try to stay away from that one. No, actually he's in a good place in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. They moved there. The kids are in school there. He loves it. And, you know, we're not ready to move forward on that one. With Ron, I spoke to him a little bit. He's in a good place right now in California. As you know, he's been a baseball lifer. He's been around the game for I don't know how many years. And I don't think, you know, he wanted to do it the whole 162 games. You know, I think he's through with that. One thing for sure, he's a phone call away from helping me. I think, you know, what he went through last year, he was amazing keeping the guys, you know, playing hard throughout the season with everything that went on. And I'm very proud of him. I know he's happy that I'm back. And you never know. I mean, somehow, some way, I do believe that he's gonna help us throughout the years with the organization, either personally with me or with in another role. I don't know, but I know he's open to help somehow, some way. But I think he's back to, you know, living that West Coast life and spend time with his wife and the family, the grandkids, and he deserves it. He deserves it, and I know he's gonna be okay.
It seemed like, you know, just not really knowing him in the years as a bench coach, but in this year, getting to know him a little bit, like, there was no bitterness. There was no, like, looking over his shoulder for you, any of that stuff. And it really didn't seem like the transition when it went back to you was even awkward with him. I mean, it seemed like he handled it as well as he really could have, at least in my perspective there.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about it when everything went down. And you know, there's a guy that I met in 1996, I want to say, in the Instructional League in Peoria, Arizona. And since that day we clicked, I was very open about it, you know, and you know how he feels about it. He's not proud of it, but, you know, he understands, you know, that we have to move forward. And I read his quotes towards the end of the season, you know, for how tough it looked from afar, you know, watching and all that. He called me right away when everything went down, you know, and he's just happy that I'm back. You know, he really feels that, you know, I can do a good job again as a manager. He's going to be pulling for me. And obviously I got somebody that will always be in my corner and help me out.
I kind of want to talk about, you know, your time at home. You talked about all the things that you accomplished, losing weight, cooking, I mean, a preschool teacher, all that stuff, which you accomplished more than anybody during the quarantine time, I think, even though you were suspended. So, but during that time, you watched baseball constantly. I know you were tweeting, you know, watching the World Series games from 2018. And my thought the whole time was like, is that kind of torture? Like, in a way, like watching that?
No, actually, no. You know, when you're in the moment, you kind of like forget about all the crazy stuff that we did, you know, the pitchers usage, you know, like we all talk about Nate and David Price and Porcello and Sale, but what Joe Kelly did, what Barnes, he did, Eduardo, I mean, it was crazy. So going back to that, there were certain things that I want to see, you know, that happened throughout, you know, in each series. And it was fun, you know, it's cool. You know, you learn so much from the game watching it when, you know, the way we run the bases and the way we play defense and the way we pitch. And there were certain moves that, you know, at the moment, I agree with that. There were certain, and now you look back, you're like, wow, what was that all about? But I think, you know, you have to reflect in the good times, and it was fun. You know, I go back to that 18 and what they did. I go to some certain particular games during the regular season. The Brandon Phillips game, that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, we all almost missed our flights that day. So
yeah, there was one that I had Mitch in the on deck circle, and Brock was hitting in the cage, and I think it was Toronto. They had a righty on the mound, a lefty in the bullpen, and I decided when whoever walked to call Mitch, he was going to pinch hit for Sandy or for Christian. Say, no, come here. And hey, get Brock, get him over there. And Brock was upset because he was, it was late. You know, we told him late. Mitch was upset because we pulled him out of the game, you know, like he never, and I explained Mitch, I said, well, if you hit, I'm not going to burn you. I'm going to let you face the lefty. That's not going to match up for us. I think he took exception to that one. And I sent Brock actually for them to bring the lefty and then put Brandon Phillips as a pinch hitter. Mm-hmm. They leave Brock. They left the righty in. I think it was Tapera. And he hit a home run. So a lot of crazy stuff that we did that year. A lot of good stuff. And I like watching that. It's not a torture, actually. It's not. It wasn't, actually. it made my days a lot better watching those games.
Yeah, I just think if I was, you know, at home and suspended, I would try to do, I know you try to do a lot of other stuff, but, you know, a lot of focus on baseball. Yeah,
you got to remember, at the time I was watching, there wasn't too much going on at the house. You
right.
know, everybody was asleep. You know, I'll come back here to the terrace and put the games. And there's no Premier League at that time.
Yep.
That's what I watch. You know, so there were no games at that time either. So all we had was MLB at bat and go back to 18. I actually watched some games for 19. Mm-hmm. That was a torture watching those. Yeah, that was tough. That was tough to watch.
What about watching the 2020 Red Sox? I mean, was that weird? I mean, were the whole time, were you thinking like I should be there? Or this should be my team?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, like I've been saying, watching games at home for all the wrong reasons. Right. And, you think about it, you know, I still remember, opening day and, it was the draft. That's when I was like, well, this already started, you know, the suspension. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you get used to it. You start watching games the whole day. That's what we do anyways, you know. Angelica does it, you know, and the family, they watch games. But it was tough. It was tough. You know, October wasn't as tough because of, you know, I mean, you're not even thinking about your situation. You're actually kind of like, oh, this is cool. You know, the playoffs, mm-hmm. whatever. You block everything out and you start watching it. But, yeah, it was tough. But at the same time, it was a good learning experience. I use it, you know, for, I don't want to sound, you know, that the whole, you know, the situation was positive, but, you know, to my benefit, just to watch around and learn. And, you know, I think that was the toughest part of the day. Like you said, you know, being the pre-K teacher in the mornings and cook and all that, kind of like the days flew by. And then at 7:30, that time, whatever, whoever decided that wasn't a good idea, but whatever, make the best out of it.
Is it easier that it was, I mean, obviously your suspension was 60 games instead of 162. So it's easier in that aspect, but is it easier to sit out a season like that where it's kind of just everything's weird anyway? Or is it, you know, does the leader in you think, you know, everything's, you know, really gone to shit here, and I want to be the guy that's leading these guys more than
ever? I mean, I wanted to be there, you know. Yeah. I wanted to be there regardless if it was 162, 80, 60, whatever, you know. But I didn't deserve to be there. That's the bottom line. And I understood that. I knew that. So you have to deal with it as best as possible.
So I don't want to harp too much on the Houston stuff. I mean, we asked you a lot of those questions in the press conference, and that was a 2-hour marathon. And you know,
was it 2 hours?
It was an hour with the main press conference,
and then we had the Zooms after, and then 45 minutes in the radio, and then half hour in the radio.
You think it was tough for you, but we had to transcribe everything you said, which takes hours too. So
I appreciate that. Clean it up. That's good. Thank you.
Even worse. Yeah. I do want to ask a couple questions. Number one, I mean, I think you've talked a lot about over the years, and I think, you know, Chad Jennings with The Athletic wrote, you know, everything, every day, pretty much in 18 or 19, you mentioned something about Houston and talked about, like, you know, your relationships with either AJ or Bregman or guys like that. I mean, is it at this point, do you feel like your relationships with some of your closest friends there are anything close to the same as they were, or have they changed, or is there a rebuilding process there?
It has changed, you know, with some of them. I gotta be honest with you. You know, we haven't been in contact, you know. And there's a few things that obviously, you know, like from my end, I'm not proud of it. And you know, I think obviously with time, you're gonna have that conversation with some of them over there. I still have, you know, some great friends over there, you know, like Carlos Correa, he stays in touch with me.
Mm-hmm.
George will always send me a text, you know. AJ will, you know, we talk about our situations, you know, after we got hired, all that. And we text throughout the season. Alex Intron, he's still my best friend.
Right.
But it's been different, to be honest with you. Obviously, they stayed together. They had a job to do this year. Mm-hmm. Communication wise has been, a lot different than the last few years. Understandable. But I think, at the end, I care about them as persons, but I can tell you, there's certain relationships that, they're not the same as it was in 17 or 18.
This is kind of a point blank question, but do you think it's fair the players get immunity completely?
That's not for me to answer. I think it's fair for me to be suspended. We went through the process and Mr. Manfred decided that it gave the players immunity. It is what it is, And one thing for sure, I know early in the season, nobody thought that they were sorry about it, but I know for a fact they are. They were embarrassed and, somehow, some way they paid the price. Obviously, everybody looks at no fans and all that. Hey, man, they can't control that. But like I said, this is something that is going to be with us for the rest of our careers. And, I think we're going to pay the price the rest of our lives.
And one thing that you weren't asked on during the press conference was just specifically about Mike Fiers and him coming out. And I know there's been polarized takes on that. I think David Ortiz, they called him a snitch or something like that during spring training, and other people have kind of called him a hero for bringing it to light. Just what is your reaction to him doing that? I know it's been a long time. It's been a year since he came out.
He did what he did and he felt like he needed to do it. You have to respect that, right? But I think with time, we'll run into each other and we'll talk about it. We were quote unquote teammates, right? Mm-hmm. In 17. So, somehow at one point during our careers, we're going to run into each other and hopefully we got time to talk about it. And me listening to him and him listening to me, is something that, hopefully it happens.
And I guess when this is all going on, is it ever in the back of your mind or in the back of everybody's mind that, eventually one of these guys could end up with a division rival or end up with a big American League rival and something like this could happen, where obviously he ends up in Oakland. And I'm sure if he was still in Houston as of last year in November, it's not like he would be probably going to reporters with that,
I don't know, man. That's something that I never thought about it,
Yeah.
I know what I know. Like I've been saying all along, man, I know what I did. I know my part. And I pay the price. So, I'm not proud of it. I can't talk about others or think for others. The only guy I can talk about is me, and I'm thinking for me. And I think I've been loud and clear the last few weeks and obviously during the summer how I feel about the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. On moving on to Red Sox stuff, which I'm sure you want to talk about more, obviously, and as the president and everything, but you haven't really talked publicly since Mookie was traded to LA. And obviously that was about a month after you were, you guys parted ways, but what was that? I mean, I'm sure you knew kind of, you still had the job in December, January, that it was a possibility, but, I guess what were your thoughts on that move? And then obviously, I still see the tweets. I still see, get the emails and fans are still angry about that move happening, especially with him winning a World Series in the first year. But and what's your take on the whole situation there?
I mean, it was a decision that was made as an organization, and he's not the first superstar that has been traded. Obviously the organization felt like that was the right move, not only for the present but for the future of it, and you gotta respect that. We had some conversations about this before everything happened, and I knew that there was a possibility that he was going to get traded. Not surprised that it happened. I think Haim has been very, very clear about it and the organization. And you can't control what happens with the other team. The thing that you can control is the players that you got. And looking at them, they're very solid. They have a lot of upside. I think, Alex last year was amazing. The way he played, the way he went about his business. And that's what we can control right now. Obviously, Mookie is a great player. The Dodgers signed him for 12 years. And, it didn't surprise us the way he played. But, it was a decision that you can, go back and feel bad about it. It is what it is. We knew, or the organization knew at that point when they traded him, that it was a good player. One of the best players in big leagues. But the organization move on, and now we have you know, some great players that we feel they're going to impact the big league team the right way. And it's on us to make them better and put in situations to be successful. If we accomplish that, we're going to be fine. He's going to keep doing what he's doing. He did this year in LA. He didn't win it by himself. You know, right. He did an outstanding job, you know, with an outstanding team. And from a personal standpoint, I'm very proud of what I saw, very proud of how he handled the whole situation. He still talks about Boston the way, you know, you expect, you know, he respects the organization. He loves the city. And one thing for us, you know, just like everything else, you got to move on and you got to keep getting better.
I think there's been this, you know, staying on Mookie for one more second, like this idea that, you know, as soon as he gets traded to LA, he signs that long-term extension. He obviously didn't accept any of the offers in Boston. And that kind of lends credence to the idea that he didn't like Boston. You had a front row seat for 2 years of that. Is that overblown that he didn't like the city?
He hated Boston. He wanted no part of it.
That's the quote smile. People are going to take out of this. So
yeah, I mean, that's the headline. That's the headline you're going to put on your thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, he never smiled. I heard so many things throughout the season, you know, watching, like, he was smiling more in LA or he was playing harder. I don't know, man. If people remember the last play of the 2019 season, how the season ended, he scored with a ground ball to right field, a slow chopper that went through the second baseman, and he scored from first, and you saw the reaction. So he loved it. You know, he loved to show up every day and play at Fenway. He loved the fans. He loved everybody that was involved, and it's just one of those. It was a business decision, right? And, you know, as an organization, you know, the decision was made, and we got to move on.
How have you found fan reaction to you coming back so far? I mean, it seems like it's you know, when you talk about the Mookie trade, it seems like everybody hated it. But with you, it's like there's a lot of people who are rooting for it the whole time and loved it, and then there's some people who are, you know, not happy with it also.
I understand it. You know, I mean, I understand the people that don't like it. You know, like I said before, you know, just be patient. Give me a chance. That's all I'm asking. You know, you don't have to forgive me. You just got to give me a chance. You know what I mean? So very understandable. I disappointed a lot of people. And that's something that we got to I'm going to keep listening throughout my career. But one thing I can do is control what I can control, you know, is show up every day and put these guys in a good spot to win ball games and make them better, help the organization to keep moving forward and be in the place that we feel we belong. And, you know, 19 wasn't great last year, obviously was a tough one, but, you know, I don't want to say it's a fresh start because it's not, but at the same time, we got a lot of things that we have to do, you know, to get back to where we want to go. And it starts with me, you know, and I can, you know, be listening to everybody out there. You know, I one thing that I always said, you know, in Boston, you got to cancel the noise, you know, whatever it says outside the walls of Fenway Park.
Except for reading Mass Live. That's the only thing.
Nah, I don't know, man. You know, like in opening day, you know what I do. I stop following you. So
right.
I stop following everybody. You know, you can't listen to the noise. And that's not only in baseball, it happens in basketball and in football right now, you know, you got to cancel it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I do. But like I said, I understand how people are, you know, upset that I'm back. And, that's all I can say. I understand that.
I mean, I think there's a lot of people that are really happy about it. I mean, there's kind of legions of fans on Twitter that were rooting for it the whole time and that thought it was.
That's cool, too. You know, that's great. But like I said, you can't get caught up in that. You can't. You got to understand both sides of the equation. And I do.
Just a couple more Red Sox specific things.
You don't have to tell me Red Sox specific. You know, don't prepare me for the question.
All right, let's go back to Houston.
Okay, let's go. What you got?
I know you're close, obviously, with Dustin Pedroia, and a lot's been made of his future. And there's reports that, you know, his official time at the organization could be coming to an end. I'm assuming you've talked to him in the last couple of weeks. Do you have any update on where he stands right now?
He's doing an outstanding job coaching his kids. basketball, baseball. He's enjoying the family. That's the most important thing. And that's where I keep it there. You know, you know, the conversations between players and myself, I just keep it to myself. And but he's in a good place, to be honest with you. He's in a good place. And, you know, whatever happens, happens, you know. But one thing for sure, he cares about the organization. Obviously, he cares about baseball. And, he's still impacting the game.
Is it one of your biggest disappointments, I guess, during this whole thing that you never really got to manage him as a player? I mean, I know that's something you were looking forward to doing coming in.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's something that we talk about it, right, throughout the process, and I was looking forward to it. But obviously, you know, like, it hasn't happened yet, you know. I mean, I don't know how many games has he played for us in the in the 2 years I was there. But one thing for sure, you know, obviously he has an impact the team like he usually does on the field. But in the clubhouse, outside, you know, with the players, outside Fenway, he's been amazing. You know, he actually helped us win a World Series in 2018 just with his presence and helping us out, preparing for the Yankees, for the Astros, for the Dodgers. And that's what it's all about, you know, just tried to make us better somehow, some way, and he did.
What about Jackie Bradley? I'm sure he's another guy that you've talked to, obviously. He's a free agent who a lot of guys or a lot of fans want back. What have your conversations with him been like?
Actually with Jackie, it's been more about family. You know, they're getting ready to get baby number two, right? And we have keep it at that, understanding the situation that he's in. But I think there's priorities in life right now, and it's for everything to be fine, and so Emerson can babysit, helping her parents.
Mm-hmm. He's, you know, obviously the team's biggest free agent at this point. Himes talked a lot about, you know, wanting to bring him back. When you look at kind of the outfield, how do you view the alignment as of right now? I mean, is it going to be flexible? Do you consider moving either Benintendi or Verdugo to center? Do you hope for kind of an everyday center fielder like Jackie was? How do you view that?
As of now, obviously Jackie is not in the equation, you know, he's a free agent, so we can't talk about him. We got two talented guys in the corners right now that are capable to play center field. And, you know, as an organization, we have talked about different scenarios, but we have to wait and see. You know, I think, the final product will be, you know, maybe in February. Sometimes the final product is opening day. And, it's interesting having these conversations with Haim and Raquel, Zach, and Eddie about where we're going, what we want to do, and I'm excited about that.
One more positioning question, I think, because it's been brought up, and Haim kind of ignored it, so we'll try it with you. the switching, Devers and Dahlbeck, switching first and third there, I mean, I think you've been kind of confident in Rafi's defense for 18 and 19, and obviously he took a major step forward in 19, and it looked like, you know, in 20 a lot of errors again. Is that a possibility? You've always talked about too with Dahlbeck, how much do you think he can play at third base in the big leagues? And I think that's kind of a theory that's gaining steam, at least in our media circles, as detached as you guys might think we are.
We actually right now I'm digging into Rafi's 2020 season, you know, defensively, you know, to what happened there. And, you know, and this goes from the strength and conditioning coach to the coaches on the field, to the information department. And I do believe in a kid, you know. You saw what happened in 19, the way he played. You saw the way he played in 18 in the playoffs, you know. He got good footwork, good hands, good instincts. And I want to know what happened, you know. And, you know, Rafi, I do believe that he can be a solid third baseman. Going to Dahlbeck, you know, versatility is important for us. And there's a guy that in college, he was a third baseman, a good one. He can handle first base. In college, he was actually a good pitcher too. So we got to keep all the doors open. And if Bobby can pitch, play third and play first, he'll be a great fit to our roster.
You called the games for him in the College World Series, right?
I did. I think he struck out like 13 or 14 in the semis. I forgot against who. I actually said on the air that I saw Dalbec as a pitcher instead of a position player. And little that I know, I was going to hopefully manage him at the big league level.
Yeah, well, I mean, you guys need pitching, so that could be an option, right?
Like I said, we're going to keep all the doors open. You know, the guy throws 95 with a good slider. So, I mean, if he can do that, if he, I mean, actually, when we sent him down in spring training of 19, I told him, I say, hey, can you still pitch? Mm-hmm. And he's like, hell yeah, I can. I said, well, if you prove me that you can pitch, you probably make the team. You know, you can play first, third, and you can pitch. But
it's a valuable roster spot.
So far, so good, actually. So far, so good. I saw what he did offensively towards the end of the season. Obviously, there's still stuff that he needs to get better, but his power play is at that level. You know, mm-hmm. when he makes contact, there's his damage, you know, and looking forward to work with him in spring training, help him out and see where he takes us.
When you look at the pitching staff, obviously it's not a finished product. There was, you know, so many guys that so many transactions, it was extremely hard to keep track of last year. And a lot of guys that you never managed, I mean, on the pitching staff. And a lot of them, I think 10 of them have been already DFA'd or outrighted. So it's not like you're going to necessarily have to worry about them, but there still are a lot of arms that you're going to have to familiarize yourself with. How is that process? I mean, has it started yet? And a lot of guys are required after you were let go.
Yeah, I think that's the easy part as far as like watching games, you know, watching individuals and having the information from the information department, the communication with Bushy and Walk and Jason, talking to Kevin and to Christian about what they saw. You know, if I have a specific question, I call them. Talking to the pitchers, that's easy. You know, that's like coming from Houston to the Red Sox, although I scouted them, you know, getting ready for the playoffs and all that. But it's kind of like the same transition, you know, get as much information as possible and watch. And then, you know, you decide, you know, like, okay, this guy can do this and can do that. I mean, it's a team effort. That's a good thing about this. You know, you got a lot of people that are going to help me out through this process. And I think when the final product, it is, like I said, either February or April 1st, we're going to be okay.
There's, in the last couple of years, been a lot of differences with, I mean, even the structure of the pitching staff. I think you and 19 were big on the no set closer and fluid roles. And then kind of halfway through the year, just based on necessity, really changed that back and wanted more of a set guy and workman there. And then this year, just again, really based on necessity, no five set starters, is really two and then three fill-ins. What is your preference, I guess, in both of those things? Is it your five horses like you had in 18, basically? Is it to have a set bullpen now? How have your philosophies evolved on that in the last few years on both of those things?
I mean, my philosophy is to adjust, you know, and the game is going, you know, in a different direction with some certain organizations. We can't predict the future. You know, we might have five set starters, or we might have four. We might have a closer. You know, Barnsley did an outstanding job last year. Mm-hmm. We might have, you know, four lefties or whatever. You know, I think the most important thing about us and what we're looking forward is for our roster to be deeper. You know, as you know, 19, we felt we were short. You yep. saw it last year. They felt they were short. So one of the things that Haim has been, you know, telling us the whole time, you know, we need to have options. And when you have options, then you can be creative. And that's what we have to wait. You know, I think the third time I mentioned final product, you know, it's going to be an interesting offseason, not only for us, but for the whole industry, right? And let's see where it takes us, you know. But I think at the end, the deeper our pitching staff is, if we're very versatile as far as position players, we're going to be in a good spot.
And the last thing for you, because I think I'm over the time I told you I need you for, so
Oh, my God, yeah. My meeting, Jesus.
You're going to pay overtime. just with this offseason, it's obviously so far even been, we're seeing decisions that, you know, kind of are shocking. I think with the Red Sox, the Martin Perez one, I think people thought he'd be back on that option. Moreland getting declined in San Diego for $3 million, Brad Hand getting let go. I think the word that has been used a lot is a bloodbath for players, but then we were seeing a couple of free agent deals, and Charlie Morton today with Atlanta, Drew Smiley with Atlanta. I guess heading into this offseason, how, and I know it's ultimately Heim's decision, you obviously have input, but how different and crazy is it going to be for players, and especially those veteran guys that might get squeezed out with everything going on?
I don't know if they're going to get squeezed out, but, obviously with everything that is going on, it's going to be different, you know, and this is not about players or owners or the Players Association or whatever. I think, you know, as the world is right now, it's going to be different, you know, and you have to make decisions based on what is going on, not only from the organization perspective, but the players too. You know, what you want to do, you want to stay close to home. Will I take less money now and then see what happens in the up, you know, in a year, you know? So it's just uncertain times right now, you know, for everybody, as you know, and you know, we just have to wait and see.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like I said, we're way over time, so I appreciate you coming on. That's Alex Cora, the manager of the Red Sox, who you'll be hearing from a lot in the next couple of years if you're a Red Sox fan. So, Alex, thank you so much for hopping on, and welcome back.
Thank you, my friend. Talk to you.